You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Hewson, the headset legend, Rafe Hewson. I'm getting that over. And I'm joined by a very special guest who's also getting over in a big way. And I think the company's come a long way. I'm with the owner, proprietor, my fellow guide through the gore on the mics over at Bleeding Gums Wrestling. And we're here to reflect on over a year of Bleeding Gums since it's become, you know, it was once a YouTube channel of an angry Scotsman screaming from his couch and talk about wrestling, and now it's a full-fledged wrestling company with an angry Scotsman and also an Australian that scream about wrestling. And we watch death matches, and he puts on amazing shows, and it's become a real thing. So, Andrew fucking Crammond, how are you today, man? How's it feel 1 year in the driver's seat of your own promotion?
It feels really good, but I feel it'd be better if I wasn't so hungover today.
We're both hungover today, so usual antics from us, to be honest.
But it's really good. I thought it was just going to be one show. I thought it was going to be a dismal fucking failure. I thought it was going to die on its arse, but then people came. Now people have like tattoos and shit, and it fucking freaks me out.
It's wild.
But it's good. It's great. Yeah, the tournament's this time next week we'll have done the tournament. Shit in my pants for that. No, but I don't know. It'll be good. It's sold out. We've sold out the fucking show. 150 tickets.
It's great.
But I'm still shitting myself because that's just stress is stress.
Absolutely. Also, I think anybody would know this if they just looked at the product, but you've proven yourself to be like a very hardworking promoter. And I've obviously known you since before this promotion started, but once you were doing it, you were like on the streets handing out flyers yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're not like, oh yeah, the wrestlers will bring some friends and we'll all just have a good time and I'll put it on Facebook and that's it. You're like, I need to fucking beat the pavement, and people who don't know what it is, they're the people I need to get to, and they could maybe find something that they didn't even know they wanted. And whenever I see that, you had your graphics right. The first time you were like going to, you know, release the video of the show, I couldn't believe the quality that you dropped, because I was expecting, I was like, yeah, of course, you know, I'll help you and we'll do some stuff together. And then when the video came in, it wasn't just like some fucking bullshit handy cam in a corner or whatever. Like, you had angles, you edited, the lighting was on point. You knew from years of being a fan, and if we rewind back to you screaming on a couch about wrestling, you used to fucking absorb a lot of it. You had criticisms, you know, you had things you liked, and you took all of that on board. And it wasn't like, I wasn't just yelling into the ether for nothing. I was absorbing what I would do, and then you enacted that plan. And I think that deserves a lot of credit, my man.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that, man. It's just been one of the things, like, maybe my missus won't agree, but like, one of my main only passions in life is deathmatch wrestling. I don't give a fuck about wrestling. I care about deathmatch wrestling.
Yes.
And I think with the flyers and poster and shit like that, I don't know how much it helps. But I feel like it's something to do, and I don't think a lot of deathmatch places actually do that in the UK. It's weird. It's like, I think that with deathmatch wrestling, it's easier to get non-fans to watch it rather than wrestling fans. Because wrestling fans will look at it and go, ah, fucking deathmatch garbage, blah, 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 blah. Violence for the sake of violence. But if you find like emo, punk rock kind of people, and you're like, if somebody's wearing a fucking Gigi Allen t-shirt, you're like, they're going to probably enjoy deathmatch wrestling. So they're the sort of people that you go for. And I think that a lot of people that have found out about us weren't necessarily wrestling fans.
Yeah, and sometimes they're not even... They don't even become necessarily wrestling fans because of it. I found that, like, with Dude, I've had friends come and they're like, this is the fucking best thing ever. Like, no ring fighting in this brewery. We're all drinking. Everything's fun. They come to every single show. They're not like, then like, I need to go watch Raw. You know what I mean? They're like, when's the next fucking dude show? Because they just want to hang out while all this craziness is going on. And I've had some of them being like, where can I watch other death matches? And I'm like, recommending my friend's girlfriend to cater matches and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's its own art form that I think for a very long time was like kicked into the corner, like it's like the bastard cousin of like the main shit. But I can guarantee you all those fucking rad people that we hang out with and do all that, if I took them to like the local, you know, wrestling company here, who are very good, but at the end of the day, they're in like a gym out in a faraway suburb. There's no beers fucking flowing and everyone's sitting at seats and they're like clapping along as they do all that shit. They would think it is the dumbest shit of all time. Like they would not care about it. But you put loud music on, dark lights, fighting on the floor, fucking glass breaking and shit like that, and people are on board, you know? Like it's how you promote it is what it is.
Definitely. It's grungy, it's underground, and it's the sort of thing where I feel like a lot of the stuff that AEW does, like we could talk about, like when Moxley did the fucking nail thing in his back.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's like that introduces people to deathmatch wrestling, but I think that 99% of the people will fucking hate it, who are wrestling fans.
Yeah.
They'll go, hot dog and a handshake, all this bullshit. But for like, you know, hardcore punks and shit, like they were like, holy fuck, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah, so absolutely.
It's a difficult one to promote because it is very, very niche.
Yeah, it is. But yeah,
all the stuff I like, music wise, comedy wise, all the stuff I like is like that anyway. So
yeah,
it's kind of fair, isn't
it? Exactly. You're already moving those circles. So that's it. But if we have a look at Lust for Death, if I remember correctly and correct my timeline, you did your first show and then you announced the original Lust for Death, which was a tournament for the UK deathmatch belt. And that was like your second show. You're like, I'm immediately running a tournament. And I was like, you're fucking crazy. But I absolutely loved the stones on him that he's just like, fuck it. And I've got this belt built. And I was like, he is not half stepping with this. Was going to do a one-off show. Now we're doing a full tournament and this is a full promotion. And it went from 0 to 100 and I was on board in a huge way. So now we approach the next Lust for Death tournament, 1 year removed. How was it completing the first tournament and just going, I can't believe I just fucking did that? You know what, right?
It was mental. It was just kind of like, to me and for most deathmatch fans, tournaments are the fucking bread and butter of deathmatch wrestling.
Absolutely.
Tournaments are the fucking best shit. We did it and we had Neil over. We had Neil at the first show, we had Neil at the second show, and we had Caden win the belt. But it was just fucking crazy. The 12-man tournament we did, which people would say, oh, fucking hell, you're booking too many people and shit. But I was like, I wanted it to be the biggest tournament, biggest in terms of like people.
Yeah.
In the tournament since Gorefest, which was in 2006, which was Iceman and Ian Rotten, and Mickey was over for that.
So yeah, sure.
Mickey to death too. Mm-hmm. And now Mickey's coming back to the UK, which is pretty fucking crazy as well. Mm-hmm. But the first tournament was great. I think the main event was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a bad match on that show. No, obviously I'm biased.
I feel really fortunate to have called that with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's literally a part of Scottish wrestling history. You know what I mean? The fact that you did that and I had a small part to play in it seems insane to me. I also like that you were like, no, it needs to be this size, because you knew that that would put prestige on the belt as well. Yeah. Like if you did some hinky fucking, you know, it's four dudes and fucking whatever, or, you know, six guys or whatever, it doesn't really seem as epic as like Caden had to go through fucking a lot to get there. You know what I mean? Yeah. To be the guy at the end. And so that put like a gravitas on the belt, and then everything that's been going on, you have proven that you have the ability to then tell stories with that belt, which I think is really cool, which is something that not a lot of people do. And I think for you, and it probably helps in like being the size of the UK and the amount of wrestlers and things like that, you kind of have this talent pool that you can call on and know they'll really be there and start to like work with a recurring roster, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Whereas in sometimes in the USA indies, everybody's doing something and it's hard to get people locked down and a storyline starts, but then this fucking guy's signed to this and he's gone and you know what I mean? Like you don't really have to deal with that as much. And so as a result, you can sort of see things through.
Yeah, yeah. It's the UK scene is relatively, well, it's a small country, it's relatively small. There's five deathmatch companies in the UK. Mm-hmm. Like in America, there's probably like five deathmatch companies in one state.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, New Jersey's kind of like, I feel like nobody's really running Jersey anymore, aside from GCW when they do the Showboat. Mm-hmm. But then at the time you had like XPW, ICW, fucking H2O, and they're all kind of moved out of New Jersey because mm-hmm. I think it will get stagnant eventually.
Yeah,
if you keep doing the same shit. But yeah, but we tried to do storylines like the stuff we did with Alton Thorne and Jack Harrop that were still sort of pushing through that. Like storytelling's more important than fucking moves.
So well, you began with that. A story. Like I did enjoy that, like the, you know, like the Wire and Ice kind of thing, and that even like headlined over a title match and stuff because you were immediately like, these are the two fucking guys and this is like the big conflict of the company right now. The belt's not in the mix of this. Their issue is above this right now. And then, you know, belts get involved and, you know, Alton wins the belt and things happen. But like that story that you were telling showed that like you prioritize that stuff. And I think that was a good move, very good move.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, I think I don't think anybody expected Alton to win the belt mm-hmm. when we did those September shows when Joel won over. But him and Joel as well, I think that was in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Him and Joel was fucking crazy. Like having Joel here and stuff was mm-hmm. mental. Like my mind and body after that September show was fucking wrecked. Like the amount of drink and the amount of other substances and just fucking hell. It was good fun. Mm-hmm. Good fun. Me and Joel sitting on my couch arguing about fucking Sting and all this bullshit. And I'm just, it's surreal. Like coming from like me being a fan of it for so long, mm-hmm. being a fan of Joel and being a fan of like Dude and DMDU and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like I feel like Australian deathmatch is very, very underrated. Mm-hmm. It was crazy just to have Joel Bateman or even Neil Diamond Cutter just sitting on my couch fucking talking about wrestling. I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
But this next week, well, next Wednesday and next Thursday, mm-hmm. We'll be picking up Mickey Knuckles and the Necro Butcher from the fucking airport.
Speaking about fucking craziness, right? Like two legendary fucking names and you're like, okay, they're... And I mean, you've had like Tremont and shit. It's wild.
Yeah, with Tremont as well. Like, I think like Lust for Death's our biggest selling show. We've announced on this. Like, we've sold it out. Mm-hmm. 150 people. In a fucking nightclub in Dundee. Mm-hmm. It's fucking crazy. But I think Necro Butcher's, there's been about six different times he's meant to have been in the UK and wrestled, and this is the only time it's ever happened.
So he's never actually made it before?
Nope. Wow. He was meant to do a TNT show, and then he got cancelled off that, mm-hmm. and then there's a big fucking thing with all that. We'll probably get into that in the Q&A that we're doing the night before the tournament. Mm-hmm. He was meant to do a 1PW show, and then 1PW shut down, and then years previous he was meant to do various different shows, and I'm like, I'm just some fucking drunken idiot from Scotland. I'm like, how the fuck have we managed to get the Necro Butcher?
Yeah.
But like I will say, like all credit to Jasmine St. Clair, like mm-hmm. knowing her, that's the reason that these things happened. Like she's very, very close to the Necro Butcher, so without her I don't think we would have got Necro.
Even Jasmine being involved is kind of insane.
it's been weird, like having Jasmine and stuff. It's like being this, like, you know, young fucking Mark fanboy for ECW, and I'm like speaking to Jasmine, I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing. Like I try not to mark out too much, but mm-hmm. like picking up Tremont and Joel and stuff from the airport and shit, I was like, okay, things are getting quite serious, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. For us, because Tremont's never been here before either, and it's good, it's all good.
It's very good. It's funny you start off saying that, like, people, you know, wrestling fans and deathmatch wrestling and hot dog and handshake and stuff. It's like, brother, there's more than hot dogs and handshakes flying around when people are flying into the country and, you know, and things are happening. You know what I mean? It's quite a bit more serious than that at this stage.
It's crazy. It's just, it's weird, the hot dog and a handshake thing. Like, I think that's so fucking weird. But then a lot of people have to remember as well that, like, these guys do it because they want to fucking do it.
Yeah.
No one's forcing them to fucking do 200 light tube matches. They fucking want to do this shit.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely.
We had Iceman versus Matt Tremont, first time ever, maybe the last time ever. And then we've got Iceman versus Necro Butcher. that'll be fucking nuts. And we've got a fucking deathmatch tournament on the same show. So.
Well, let's break down the tournament then. Before we do that, let's rewind for 1 second. Iceman versus Necro Butcher, like, just being the dude to book that show, it's just fucking crazy in itself. And they're literally two pillars of deathmatch wrestling. So it must be, I feel this, and you know, you're like, especially your UK deathmatch history very well, but all deathmatch history very well. And just to, you're the kind of guy that goes, oh, nobody's fucking done that before. I'll do it.
it's crazy. It's like when we did our first ever show, and me and you called the Ultraviolence referendum the first ever show, I booked Iceman versus Clint.
Yeah,
Iceman said to me, he's like, I'm looking forward to that match. It's never happened before. And I was like, what? I was like, has that not happened yet? And I was like, Iceman versus Clint. I was like, they're two guys that have been around the scene for fucking so long. Mm-hmm. And then we got their first ever match. I was like, and it's never happened since either.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very good thing. Yeah. Ice and Necro will be crazy. Plus the tournament, and we've got Mickey in it as well. So yeah, the first round and the semi-finals and the finals, like, I released that. The finals will be fucking nuts, but I won't spoil anything.
Have you met Necro in person before?
No, never met him.
He is a big fucking person. So I met him in Japan. I went and caught up with Pondo at, like, this bar, and he was there, and a bunch of wrestlers were there, Violento Jack and, like, people. And sort of met them all, a lovely person, for the record. Like, he was fucking being very funny and, like, very charming and everybody and very friendly. And he shook my hand when he was leaving. And I swear it's the biggest hand I've ever shaken in my life. Eh? Just enveloped mine with this huge, and he's a tall guy. And you're like, a fucking big person. Absolutely. He's an impressive individual, you know. And when you think about everything he's been through in his life, it's crazy that now he's just, like, coming to bleeding gums.
It's mental, but he's really happy about it. He's, like, touting it online, and he's hyping up online and shit. And but it's for me. A lot of the stuff is like, oh, this is for the fans and shit, and that's for me.
I am the fan. It is for me personally.
This is for me, because I'm like, I've watched Necro Butcher fucking. I remember my dad used to get fucking VHS tapes from this guy that used to grow weed across the street from us, and it was like, I would have been. Fucking, I'm 34 now, so I would have been about 11 or 12 years old, and it had, like, matches from IWA Mid-South and matches from CCW, and it's the match for him versus Pondo where he gets his fucking arm fucked.
Okay.
Have you seen that match?
No, I don't think so.
He gets, Pondo gives him a suplex off the top through tubes, and there's a fucking, it's like somebody's taking an ice cream scoop.
Oh my God.
But, like, that was the first thing I'd ever seen of Necro Butcher, and I'm like, been a fan ever since, and that, obviously, that crazy match here with fucking Samoa Joe, and
that is one of the best matches of all time. I fucking love Necro Butcher and Samoa Joe. It's crazy.
Well, that's the thing, is like, when we're doing the Q&A the night before, it's like, I'm trying to write the questions, and I'm like, is he maybe sick of hearing about that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like in my head, there's like things I've wrote down, and obviously, like, he was in The Wrestler as well, but I'm like, is he sick of talking about this shit? Or should I ask?
I don't know. I think if you're doing a Q&A night, you know, where, like, are you doing it live? Fans are going to be there, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So
then you've absolutely got to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, if people are coming to see it, you're going to hit the hits so fans can hear him speak about it in his own words. So I think you should absolutely talk about it. You know what I mean? And you could even ask him beforehand. You go, look, I think I should hit the hits. Is there anything here you don't want to talk about, kind of thing? And you'd be fine. Yeah. Oh.
I'm sure he'll be
Imagine him giving a fuck at all. Like,
no. So we've booked a Q&A for the night before. So we've essentially Jasmine, Mickey, and Necro. But we're just going to ask, essentially what we're going to do is Michael Caden will be asking the questions.
Okay.
So we're going to do him doing it because Michael Caden knows more about deathmatch wrestling than me. Mm-hmm. And I like to think I've know quite a fair bit about deathmatch wrestling. Mm-hmm. So we'll have him asking the questions. But we'll probably bring up stuff like Jasmine and Mickey were both on Jerry Springer. We'll bring up all this sort of weird shit. So, and we'll talk about fucking IWA and Ian Rotten and TNT and all this shit. But,
It'll be something like people buying tickets, like coming to this. It's like an evening with them. Yeah, absolutely. That's so fun. What a cool, different event for some legendary talent that are never in your country. Like, I think that's really cool.
And we've got the Deathmatch Outlaws are going to be filming it and bringing it out on DVD.
Great.
And then it'll be on IWTV as well afterwards. I don't know how long the event will last, but there's like Jasmine, Mickey, and Necro. So I imagine it'll be like 2 hours or something. But we're all just going to get fucked up and wasted and just talk shit. So it should be fun.
That's great. That's really cool. Fuck, I'm so jealous I'm not over there. Fucking, we would have so much fun if I was hanging out over there. All right, so Lust for Death tournament. Let's break it down. You've probably got the names in your head or written down somewhere, but can we run through the tournament or at least the entrants and let's have a bit of a vibe out on that?
Trying to top myself every show. I don't know how long this is going to last, but we've got a fish and chips death match, which is no ropes, fish and line instead of ropes, fish hooks, panes of glass, salt, vinegar, Tim Strange versus Franco Fate.
Of course, Tim Strange is in there.
Yeah. But I said, because I spoke to Pondo about this, because originally we were going to have Pondo, but then it didn't work out. We'll have Pondo in the future, and hopefully I'll have him over at some point. But he had a match, same sort of thing with Thumbtack Jack.
Yeah.
And I would be East Coast. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, fishing line instead of ropes. So we're opening the show with that.
That sounds fucking scary, is what it does. What I mean? Like, fucking hell.
So fish hooks, fishing line, fucking sheets of glass. I've got a pane of glass that's got fish on it. Oh. So
how are you? How are you stringing that up? Like just heaps of it, like a web of fishing line, or just like three individual terrifying cords? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So we're doing one side's completely empty, basically the hard cam side's completely empty. The other three sides is essentially just fishing line instead of ropes.
Yeah.
That'll be a bit.
Why don't you on the back? Maybe we should be talking about this off camera. I'm gonna fuck it. You can stop me. What about if the back? So the hard camera's looking at it. What if the back one is just like a web of fishing line? Like so much of it. I mean, I don't know how much fishing line costs. I might be speaking. It's like it's fucking $100 a meter. fucking. You know what I mean? So it looks like a literal spider web with like hooks hanging off it and lures and shit, and then like the straight ropes. That would look really cool.
I think that's what we're gonna do. For the back side, but like that's opening the show. Mm-hmm. So just for us doing that, I was like, we're gonna do this. So that's gonna be the thing. The first thing fans see when they come in that building. Mm-hmm. No ropes, fish and line, fish hooks. I'm like, right, let's fucking go.
Do you have gidgies in Scotland?
What did you say?
Do you have gidgies in Scotland? I don't know what they're called. It's like a spear fisherman's pole, three prongs, very sharp, with like rubber that you kind of stretch and then you can kind of release and like thing it. But the hook, the barbs on those, like the three prong thing is mean as fuck. Like there may be something there.
Well, that's the thing that I did say was when we were buying these are the problems that only deathmatch people have to deal with.
Yeah,
is buying fish hooks. Don't buy barbed fish hooks because that's just fucked. I mean, it's fucked anyway.
Yeah. Actually, gidgies are barbed because I mean a lot of fishing stuff is barbed because the idea is it goes in like and then doesn't come out. Like, is the point?
Exactly. So with that match would be fucked. Fish and chips. Fucking,
you're a psycho. I love it.
It's going to be messy. I'm trying to think what else we have. I would arguably say that it might be one of the most mental matches to ever happen in the UK. Uh-huh. Triple L, Ladders, Lemons and Light Tubes. Mm-hmm. And it's Jack Harrop and Big Joe tagging with each other versus Brett Semtex and Lou Nixon of the British Top Team.
Okay.
And the winners advance to wrestle each other in the semifinals.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
So we've got 10 people in this tournament, and I was like wanting to try and do a thing, but like Jack Harrop and Big Joe versus the BTT is going to be fucking mental.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be fucked. So yeah, I've got two ladders, got about 150 tubes, and we've got a bucket of fucking lemons.
Yeah.
And yeah, that'll be decent.
That will be very decent. I'm sure the guys can get creative there.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'm trying to think we've also got Mickey Knuckles wrestling Michael Caden. Mm-hmm. Which has been, I think, the third time this match is meant to have happened. Mm-hmm. And that's Barbed Wire Massacre. Mm-hmm. Barbed Wire Chair, Barbed Wire Ropes, Barbed Wire fucking Webs, Barbed Wire Light Tubes.
Jesus.
So, yeah, we're going all fucking out. And for the last semi-final, if I can even remember, we also have Tombi versus Darko. First time ever. Oh, this is another thing I was going to say. Every single match that I've just said is first time ever. I don't know how like all these
how are you doing this? I mean, it's because you're fucking in Scotland and nobody else runs wrestling.
But I mean, like in general, it's like so that tag match, this match we've got Darko versus Tombi, which is a strip it, rip it, grip it. So carpet strips, gusset plates, ensigns, needles. Like for two people like Darko and Tombi who have been in the scene for a while, they've never wrestled each other.
Oh, like at all in the UK or at all anywhere?
No. So it's like we've got that. Mickey Knuckles has never wrestled Caden. Big Joe, that tag match has never happened. Tim Strange has never wrestled Franco Fate. So they're all first-time ever matches.
Wow.
And then we have semi-finals. So I have got a bucket that's currently got a Donald Trump figure in it of I got 30,000 thumbtacks.
Seems like a lot.
And the worst thing was I had to buy these thumbtacks and they came in boxes of 100 and I had to break every box of 100 and put them all in this fucking bucket. So one of the semi-finals is we've got pinned, nailed and smashed. Mm. So it's light tubes, 30,000 thumbtacks and a bed of nails.
Oh, wow.
So that should be fucked as well. Mm. And then we've got bodies under the boards, which is another one of the semi-finals, which is four boards, two panes of glass of all sorts of different fuckery. Mm-hmm. And main event, final is an April fucking blood showers death match, which is going to be fucked.
What is that? Or we're not saying.
But tubes, glass, wire,
just everything, just everything,
everything, just fucking everything. But that should be fucking crazy. And then we've also got a needle in a nettle stack death match. So we're going to get four bin bags full of nettles, and I've got about 200 syringes, and that's Alton Thorne versus Jack Bennett for the belt. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Ice and Necro, which is just going to be Legends Deathmatch, which is going to have loads of shit in it as well.
So, yeah.
It's going to be a fucking crazy day, but I'll look forward to Sunday, the day after, when it's all fucking done.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a big one, man. It sounds really fun. So, it's obviously coming up really soon, April 12th. When do you think it'll go online? But that'll probably depend on you and me, getting our schedule together to fucking call it.
I think we could just as soon as afterwards. My old camera guy who now lives in Canada, he filmed that Canadian deathmatch show.
Oh, really?
So he's now my video editor, and he lives in Canada. So we'll get it out at some point. Hopefully, the week after we can do the commentary.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, the 2 weeks after are pretty great for me too, because it's school holidays over here, which means that I like a lot of my customers are on holidays, and so my schedule's a lot more malleable because I don't need to be anywhere in particular, like go visit anybody or whatever. So I can probably work to you during that time.
That's cool. So I think we should probably get it edited within a couple of days, and then we could probably do it. It'll be good. The venue, the church, they're fucking sound guys. But yeah, Lust for Death 2 will be fucked. Biggest selling show, and then then it's on to England, and then it's on to July, and then it's on to ICW in September. So
yeah, are you taking Bleeding Gums to England?
We're doing like a joint show. So there's a company called Kumite.
Oh yeah, I know.
In Derby, and Rise. So we're doing a three promotion show.
That's great.
In Newcastle. So we're working all with those guys. So that'll be the 30th, whatever the last day in May is, the 30th or the 31st of May.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that. And then we're back at the Ice Factory where Wire and Ice was in July. Mm-hmm. And then we are also doing ICW
yes.
September.
Yeah.
Which is a bit fucking mental as well. So. Well, but it'll be, the ICW are coming over to you guys anyway. And
they are. Yeah. So we've got, is it May? I think it's May. We've got ICW, No Holds Barred here in Australia, alongside when Deathmatch Down Under are doing the Dream Tag Team Deathmatch tournament, which is going to be pretty awesome. So doing that. And then they're going to Japan. I'm going to be at the Japan tour as well.
Oh, that'll be fucking sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Sick.
They've already like announced Kasai. It's a cool.
I was like, holy fuck. Like, I know Takeda, like, they're probably running a show like literally right now where Takeda's over.
They are. I'm pretty sure I just saw like an IWTV announcement on my phone saying it had gone live. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I was meant to watch that last night, but I got hammered and fell asleep on my couch. So. But I'll watch it at some point. But yeah, it's ICW stuff's pretty mental. But it's like we announced our first name for it, which was Tank.
Yeah,
that's
sick.
This is the thing. Like for me, like for somebody who cares about deathmatch wrestling, IWA Mid South, Deep South, and stuff, Tank's fucking like amazing.
Speaking about another legend. Yeah, absolutely.
And what I do want to do for at least one of the three shows we're doing with them is at least for a match before me and you do the commentary, I want to do commentary for one match or two matches with a Rev.
Oh yeah, that would be
live, amazing. Live. Like, because to me, his voice and his presence is fucking awesome.
Absolutely,
I think he's a very underrated commentator, so I want to do that for at least one of the shows, and then the rest of the shows he can fucking run about and do whatever.
But
I want to do that with the Rev. But yeah, Tank and the Rev are coming over.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you've got this out, I could probably announce the next name.
I'll get this out next week, probably like the Friday or whatever before the show. I think would be the plan. Like, yeah, so it'll be, you know, the end of the week before you actually go live. Yeah.
So for people that might not be aware, Neil Diamond Cutter announced his retirement at the end of 2025.
Yeah.
So we are bringing Neil back over.
Mm-hmm.
So Neil's going to be on the ICW No Holds Barred tour in Scotland. As Neil is a friend of mine, and I was like, we're bringing you over before you retire.
Sure.
We've got Neil Diamond Cutter back for Bleeding Gums. Not too sure who will be wrestling at this point, but I said that to Neil. I was like, if you're retiring, we're bringing you back over at least one time. So he'll be there for all the shows.
That's great.
So we've got Neil Diamond Cutter.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You get so much out of a Neil Diamond Cutter arriving. You know what I mean? He just brings so much to it.
I still don't understand why. I don't know if it's politics or if it's not. I don't understand why places like GCW don't use him.
Yeah.
Because he's so fucking underrated. He was over for you guys for the last Dream tournament. Was it the last Dream tournament?
I think the one before that. Yeah. When Clint was here as well, which was crazy. Yeah. We had Clint Margera and Neil Diamond Cutter at Dude, Where's My Ring, which is stupid. Like, I can't believe it happened, you know. And then they were in that tournament. And then, yeah, Neil went to the end of that tournament against Jordan Sampson in one of the best live death matches I've ever seen. Like, that final was unbelievable, you know. Like, he's just so fucking good, man.
He's so fucking underrated. So we'll get some crazy matches out of him because he was the first guy that I ever brought in. He was the first person I'd ever bring in. He's probably one of my favorite wrestlers in America, is Neil Diamond Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So when he told me he was retiring, I was like, we need to get you back.
We need
to get you back here just for my own selfish ego.
Yet again, I'm the fan that it's for.
it's just, I feel like for a lot of the guys that I like might not be the major people,
mm-hmm.
they're all fucking good,
mm-hmm.
and they're all underrated. Certainly somebody like Tank as well, who's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Tank's fucking awesome. And so
sure.
having Tank and Neil over, we've announced Tombi.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fucking bloody, bloody, fucking disgusting weekend. Yeah. So it should be fun.
That's great. That's awesome, man. Well, best of luck with everything. You've got some fucking awesome stuff coming up. You're still hard at work. And before you know it, we'll be chatting again and it'll be like year two, you know? Like fucking.
I know, it's fucking crazy. So I think I'll just announce it on this. Fuck it. so what we're going to do is November the 29th, last show of the year, which was and it's in Dundee, the same venue that Lust for Death's in.
Yep, sure.
Mm-hmm. But we'll be adding another show, which will be the 30th of November,
mm-hmm.
where we'll be back in Edinburgh,
mm-hmm.
where the crime scene was the first time,
yeah,
but okay. in a different venue.
Yeah.
Place called La Bella Angela, where I've been many, many times to see bands like The Fall and The Fun Loving Criminals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Went and spoke to them, so we'll be running Edinburgh, our two-year anniversary show, which will be a bit fucking mental.
That's great.
And we'll probably have an international name. I won't announce that just yet, but yeah, we'll be doing two shows in November instead of one now.
Yeah, that's rad. So the people of Scotland just spoilt for choice with Bleeding Gum shows.
I'll do my mental health and physical well-being a lot. But the Bella Angela, I spoke to the guy who runs it, and he's a big wrestling fan, and he's happy with all the glass and all the violence and shit. And I was like, I saw The Fall there like fucking 15 years ago, and I was like, can we run? He was like, yeah, you can run shows and shit. And I was like, you're joking, I can run? Because for me, there's a lot of venues that The Fall have played in Scotland that I want to run shows.
Yeah.
Just for myself.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. I do it for me. Hopefully it's good for the fans. But I being a huge mark for The Fall, I want to run venues that they played, and I want to see all the shit that they did and
mm-hmm.
before Mark died in 2017. But they were over for you guys. I don't even know if you know who The Fall are. But
the name is familiar, but it's not like I've ever really listened to
it's
much.
It's nonsense. It's shite. It's pure shite. I love it. I went. I saw them 44 times.
Well, Jesus Christ. 44
times. I travelled to go and see The Fall. The Fall's Marky Smith, lead singer, guitar, bass, drums, keyboards, and he's just an old man shouting nonsense. fucking brilliant.
Right up your alley.
It's just the bass lines and the fucking drums and shit. It's just, there's times where he would go on stage and he would just throw his microphone into the crowd and he would just wander off and never come back on. Like five minutes into a set and he just wasn't there, and it's fucking awesome. Like I've met people and drank and taken drugs with people that I've no business even speaking to, going to see The Fall. So
yeah.
So when they announced that La Bella Angela gig in Edinburgh, I was like, hell fucking yeah. I was like, right, okay, we're going to do somewhere that The Fall have played. So that's pretty fucking cool to me.
Yeah.
Might not be cool to anybody else, but it's in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So
hey, it's, you know what I mean? Like, if you can book it for yourself, you're like, a fan like me would like this. There's a very good chance that there are fans like you that do like this, you know? So yeah. that's a really good, if you can stay in that mindset, I think you can only really deliver what people want to see, you know what I mean? Opposed to, I don't know, being some kind of visionary booker that thinks they fucking, you know.
I just want two venues that The Fall played. That's all I want.
Get them on camera. Absolutely. That'll be sick.
Like fucking, I mean, I went to fucking Israel to see them. I went to fucking Iceland to see them.
Wow.
All sorts of shit. So yeah, so it's a little part of me will be like, hell yeah, The Fall played here and we're playing here. So yeah, that's the weird thing with my life, is like The Fall was my wrestling before wrestling, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But like traveling to see them was like part of my life many, many years ago.
Yeah, that was like your niche obsession before wrestling. Yeah.
And then when he died, I saw the last ever gig they played in Glasgow, and Mark was in a fucking wheelchair and died of cancer and shit.
Oh,
and played right to the very end. But
did you really?
I didn't see music for 3 years after that, because I was like, nothing's going to compare to it.
Wow.
But now I'm kind of like, okay, right, we're at a position now where we can play the same venue as The Fall. I'm like,
yeah,
Okay. There things are going all right.
You're getting there. That's awesome, man. Tell everybody where to find everything Bleeding Gums.
So anything for us is www.bleedinggumswrestling.co.uk. That'll have links to all our socials. That'll have links to our Instagram or Facebook. We're fairly frequent for putting out stuff. The show for this is now sold out. And we'll announce some stuff for July soon, because the winner of Lust for Death, we are getting a trophy made.
Oh, really?
So have you seen Riot Zoo? He makes the little figures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little mini figures. Yeah. He's doing our trophy.
Sick.
So.
Well, that's good, because the first tournament, the belt was there to win, right, at the end. But this one, obviously, the belt is doing its own thing now. So, you know, absolutely.
So the winner of the tournament gets a title shot in July.
Okay.
So July is going to be back at the Ice Factory. So we've got a trophy for that. But yeah, but it should be interesting. It'll be an interesting show, that July show. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think if I should do a spoiler in here or not. Maybe I should. I don't know. Should I? Should I do a spoiler in here for July?
I don't know. Like, that is up to you. You know, I don't think is it going to, I think it's fine as long as it doesn't, ruin that. Any outcomes of the tournament?
No. So essentially, we are going to have Reed Bentley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're bringing Reed over for the July show.
Mm-hmm.
So the July show will be, obviously, we'll have that big title match for the winner of the tournament versus either Jack Bennett or Alton Thorne. But yeah, we'll bring Reed Bentley over as well.
That's sick.
So that's the case for July, and then obviously September we've got a plethora of people that are coming over.
That's it.
To see sunny fucking Scotland.
And it's like you say, it's always risky to announce stuff too far in advance because it's wrestling, right? And nothing's real until it actually happens. But
yeah,
I think what this conversation shows is that you're always planning to do something new and innovative and bring different people in and do different stuff. So I think that's really exciting, man.
I think it's thank you. I think it's just, I just want to bring people that haven't been here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are very, very good who have been over in the UK a couple of times, Ricky Shane Page and Schlack and
mm-hmm.
amazing names.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm I want to bring somebody new, different stuff that people haven't seen.
Sure.
So I think that's the way to do it. And obviously we'll bring Neil back for his retirement tournament as well. But tour. I should say, but yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah,
all good stuff.
That's awesome. That's so good. Well, mate, thanks for fighting through despite your hangover. We did the damn thing. You stayed up super late. I got up super early. We fucking made it happen. So I hope everybody's enjoyed this. Make sure you check out the Lust for Death tournament. If you don't have your tickets in Scotland to go, it's too late. It's already sold out. But keep your eyes peeled on IWTV in the weeks following when we get our shit together, rock it out in post, and get it online. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. We'll sort out a date for doing the commentary and stuff like that. But,
yeah, sure.
I feel like it'll be our best show.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
That's how you should always feel. The next one should always be the best, you know? And you should always be trying to outdo everything. So I think that's rad, dude. And, the lineup you've got for it's nuts. So and all the talent, they can only win. And I think the Q&A night that you got planned the night before sounds like so much fun. And yeah, if I was a deathmatch wrestling fan and I was in Scotland, I would be going to all that shit for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, thank you very much, man, for doing this.
No worries whatsoever. Thank you. So everybody out there, make sure you check it all out. Everything Bleeding Gums. You can catch everything Faces and Feels right here at Faces Feels Cast on all the social medias. And yeah, until you hear us screaming our heads off with a few beers in us to Lust for Death 2, it's all about peace, love, and fucking deathmatch wrestling. Peace.
Hell fucking yes.
Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Countout Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.